So she's going to come up and share on one baptism. Sheila?
Wonderful. Thank you, honey, for not crying. I would have not have been able to get up here without crying, too. He's wonderful. Well, this morning I have the wonderful privilege of sharing on one baptism. Thanks, Charlie and Deb and the board, for allowing me to do this. Whenever we get to teach God's Word, whether it's with the adults, the kids, whoever, it's always a joy to do it, isn't it?
I know.
We were in the board meeting about a month ago, and Charlie started asking anyone who would like to teach at the Weekend in the Word. And I said, well, I'd like to. So he named off all those things in Ephesians 4. He said, so which one would you like to do? Well, now, I've taught a lot on the hope and faith. But I don't think I've ever taught on one baptism. So the thought came into my mind, one baptism. I went, okay, I guess that's the one I'm doing. Charlie, I'm doing one baptism. And he looked at me and went, okay then. So we went away last weekend. We had to go to a memorial service for Mike's brother in Topeka. We were gone 4 days. And for a while there, I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to leave because I had all these things I had to get ready for this weekend. And I just kept figuring out how to get stuff done before I left and how to finish when I got home. And I finished this teaching Friday morning. My husband helped me run the notes off. And I brought notes in English and in Espanol both. But as I laid in bed last night, very tired at 10:30, it wasn't time for me to go to sleep yet. God had other plans. So he's helped me change my teaching a bit this morning. Okay? If you would, let's see. Would you pass out the Espanol for me? Yeah. And by the way, there's a typo in the title. It says un baptismo. It's supposed to be uno baptismo. Sorry about that. English. We are not following this completely because God has had me eliminate some verses because he had other plans, which is wonderful the way God works. I'll let you pass those out. So I was very excited because I was going to get to put together a teaching that I had never done before. And that's why it's a wonderful growing experience when you get to do that, isn't it? Some of you that have taught? Okay. So you can take your Bible. The first verse is Matthew 13. And while you're turning there or getting all the notes passed out, I have a story to tell you because I love to tell stories. Some of you know that's in my job description and my resume is that I'm a storyteller. So we got them all passed out. Awesome. Thank you. All my helpers. So, in 1968, I was sitting in a place called Billy Sunday Sawdust Tabernacle in Winona Lake, Indiana. I was there for a Youth for Christ convention. This auditorium was packed with teenagers and college students. And it was the last night. It had been a wonderful week. And the last teacher walked out. He had one of those little stools in his hand, his Bible under his arm, and he sat down and he opened up his Bible. Now, I was brought up in the Word. Had wonderful parents, went to church every Sunday. My mother taught me the Word. I started learning memory verses at age 5. I dedicated my life at age 9. I had already been born again. But I was still seeking. And that night, this gentleman planted a seed in my heart that set me on a quest. He taught us that night about God as our Father, and we are His children. And that it was available for us to know God so well that He came down in human form and sat here on that stool and opened His arms. I could go and sit on His lap and put my head on His shoulder and tell Him everything that was on my heart. I had never heard that before. And I wanted that. I wanted that. But I left that next day not knowing how to have it. And I went on a quest until 1971 from church to church to church to church, trying to find how I could get a personal relationship as father and child. I even went to a Pentecostal church a friend invited me to. Now, I was brought up Methodist. Pentecostal and Methodist are so different. Okay. So I walk in, the first day sit down and they start having prayer, and all of them are praying like this. And some of them are speaking in tongues that loud, and I'm sitting there just going, I was totally freaked, okay? But I went back the next Sunday. And I went back the next Sunday, and as I'm walking out, okay, the pastor's standing there shaking hands. And he grabs my hand, and he goes, are you born again? I said, yes, I am. Have you been baptized? I said, yes, I was. Have you been immersed in baptism? I said, what is that? He told me I was not born again. I was not saved until I went downstairs in that basement and got dunked, immersed. Or I wasn't born again. He said, why don't you come next Sunday and we'll take care of that? And I looked him in the eye and said, no, I'm already born again and I've already dedicated my life to God. I'm never coming back. I don't need what you're offering. And in 1971, a friend of mine that I had in high school came back from 1 year of college at Bowling Green State University, walked into where I was working as a clerk. She started talking to me about the Bible. Now, I knew Cindy from high school. She was brought up Roman Catholic. She knew nothing about God, okay? I had tried witnessing to her, okay? But she starts talking the word to me. And all of a sudden, she said something to me. She goes, you know, I've got this class we're starting in about 2 weeks. I said, really? What's it about? You learn about God's word and how God is your father and you're His kid. And I went, I want that class. She said, it's $45. It's no problem. I went over, pulled out my checkbook, wrote our check. There it is. When does it start? In 2 weeks. I'll be there. And I took the class and it changed my life because I learned I could have that personal relationship with God as my Heavenly Father. I learned on the fifth session, it's Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you. And on the 12th session, I spoke in tongues. And that night, I knew I was on the Father's lap that night. I knew I was there in His arms finally. I knew I had what I'd been searching for. First thing we're going to cover is the first baptism that came. There's two baptisms, and we know that. Who brought the first baptism? John the Baptist. That's why they called him John the Baptist, because he baptized. What an easy question, right? And then we have baptism of the Holy Spirit, prophesied by Jesus Christ. First received on the day of Pentecost. Our wonderful Marty came in and shared with our kids yesterday on cloven tongues as of fire. That's why the kids had the little hats. Isn't that cool? I love that. Woo-hoo! Water baptism. You can go to Wikipedia. You can go to Webster's Dictionary. You can go to the Bible Dictionary. And all of them say pretty much the same thing about water baptism. It says, in the Christian church, the religious rite of sprinkling water onto a person's forehead or of immersion in water, symbolizing purification or regeneration and admission to the Christian church. In many denominations, baptism is performed on young children and is accompanied by name giving even. Some leaders teach that baptism of the Holy Spirit is received when a person is water baptized. That's what that man of the Pentecostal church tried to tell me. I had to be water baptized to be saved. Matthew 3. We're going to see what John the Baptist talks about with water baptism. I don't need my Bible for that. It says, John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. Well, I wouldn't be able to wear shoes either. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. So John told everyone, look, I'm baptizing with water, but there's going to be somebody that comes that's even greater than me. And he's going to baptize people in Holy Spirit and with fire. That's quite a prophecy, isn't it? Mark 1, 2. And this is in your notes. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That was his job. He knew what he was supposed to do. He was preparing the way for the Messiah, getting people ready to receive. Getting people ready to receive the Messiah when he came to teach. That was his job. He knew what his job was. Down to verse 7. And preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, that latcheth of his whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with what? Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. But yet that gentleman that day, that preacher was convinced that I had to be immersed in water or I was not going to be saved. Thank God my mother taught me differently. I went home that day and told her what he said. And she said, well, did you believe what he said? I said, no. She goes, good, because he wasn't telling you the truth. She knew that wasn't true. And when I was 9 years old, I was at the church and they had what they would call an altar call for anyone that wanted to get born again or dedicate their life to God. And I went down that night to dedicate my life. And I asked Mom, I said, can I go down? She said, okay. And afterwards she said, what did you do down there? I said, I dedicated my life to God. And she said, God has great things in store for you. He's already shown me. Isn't that wonderful? How reassuring. When she said that to me that day about he lied, but he didn't tell you the truth. It's not true. You know better. Amen. That's right. And there's more scriptures that contain the same record. You've got them in your notes. But all four Gospels say the same thing regarding water baptism, that it came with John the Baptist. So the next thing we go to is baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, was sent by Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. Christian leaders have taught for years that speaking in tongues died with the apostles. It's one of the nine manifestations. And they have told people and taught people for almost two millenniums that it all died with the apostles. Many Christians believe, down to the next part, that pneumahagion, Holy Spirit, is automatically received at the time of salvation. They believe that when a person confesses Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, he receives eternal life, which is pneumahagion, Holy Spirit. But there is more for the Christian. It's lambano, into manifestation. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians sitting in churches today that have no idea that they have that power in their life because they've never lambanoed. They have never manifested it. And they're sitting in church today because they know that's where they need to be, because they love God. But no one's taught them. No one has taught them. They've only been taught the old, the second best, which is water baptism. Let me give you an example. We're coming into the season of the World Series.
I love my baseball, trust me. It doesn't matter who's playing, I will watch the World Series.
But let's say Michael finds two tickets for us to go to the seventh game. It's gone all seven games. Seventh game. He got two tickets for us to go to the seventh game of the World Series. We're in this big, huge baseball stadium. And the only tickets he could find were the ones clear up at the top. We have to look down and maybe use binoculars, but we're there at the seventh game of the World Series. Yeah. We walk in. We hand our tickets to the ticket guy. He goes, wait a minute. Let me see this number. Come with me. We're like, what? Come with me. He goes over and he says, these are clear up the top, right? Yeah. He said, well, you've got the winning number. We have some different tickets for you. He pulls them out and gives them to us. And we look at them and we go, oh, my gosh, they're right behind home plate. Oh, my gosh. The best seats in the house, baby. The best. And I'm starting to walk away and go, wait a minute, you know, I think I'll be okay with those other seats up the top. Here, you can give those to somebody else. No, I'm not going to do that. And we're not going to do that about Holy Spirit either. Are we going to take the second best or are we going to take the best? We're going to take the best. We want front row seats. We want to be right there behind all the action, baby. Yep. Where am I at? Oh, here we go. Luke 24:49 says, and mark this, I'm sending upon you my Father's, this is Jesus Christ talking, I'm sending upon you my Father's promised gift. How many of you like to receive a promised gift? Well, the kids are all here to be going, that's me, I want the promised gift. So stay here in the city until you are armed with the power from above. I love how he said that. You're going to be armed with the power. Our kids love to sing, I'm the Lord's army, because they get to fly and they get to march. Oh, they love it. They're clothed in. John 14:12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, shall he do also greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whoa! Is that exciting or what? How? You know, I remember the first time I read that verse, and I went, how could I ever do anything greater than he did? Oh, my gracious. But we can. We can. Because he couldn't speak in tongues. He couldn't interpret. He couldn't lead anyone into the new birth like we can. He's the one that made that available. But he couldn't do it. But he said, you're going to get to do it. He's looking them right in the eye, all of the disciples. You're going to do it. 12 says in Amplified, I assure you and most solemnly say unto you, anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do the things that I do, and he shall do even greater things than these in extent and outreach, because I'm going to the Father. New International Version says, verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. If baptism of the Holy Spirit was to die with the apostles, then why did Jesus Christ himself prophesy that it would come with all power of Jesus Christ behind it? He prophesied it. If it was going to die, why did God want him to prophesy about it? It makes no sense. Some leaders teach that water baptism is the time to get saved, to dedicate their life, and to become a spiritual person. The adversary is still tricking people via leaders that teach that water baptism is the greater. And that is how he continues to steal Christians' power. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to what? Steal. And when Christian leaders tell people that they don't need to manifest, they don't need these things in their life, they only need water baptism, you know what they're doing? They're calling Jesus Christ a liar. They don't even realize they're calling Jesus Christ, the Messiah, a liar.
Because they're lying to God's people via the adversary and stealing their power. We're sitting here today because we didn't allow anybody to steal our power. Amen?
Amen.
We're here because we know what we are supposed to do since we got born again. We have a job. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. And if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The children of Israel wandered aimlessly for years, for centuries, and only a few had the Spirit upon them. That's why they wandered. Because Adam lost that connection for all those people. But Jesus Christ said, you're going to get it back. Because I'm going to the Father. I'm going to lay my life down. And I'm going to go to the Father. And I'm going to send you the Comforter. The comfort that people have wanted for centuries. And we live in this day and time, the church administration, we don't have to wander aimlessly. We don't have to know what's going on in our lives. We've got spiritual connection with our God and our Father. I will not leave you, 18, comfortless. I will come to you. If you ask anything in my name, I will what? Do it. I will do it. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Sometimes I wonder how stupid the adversary was, because Jesus Christ laid it all out. But he still crucified him anyway, didn't he? He must have not believed Jesus Christ when he said that stuff, huh? He thought he was more smarter. He thought he was smarter than Jesus Christ. He thought he was smarter than God. So he didn't pay any attention to it. Hallelujah. He that hath my commandments keepeth them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. 26. But the Comforter, which is Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. What's going to teach you all things? Holy Spirit. What's not in this book to help us in our life, we get via the Holy Spirit and the nine manifestations. God teaches us. I shared that with the kids yesterday, how God teaches us and talks to us. He wants us to talk to him, and he wants to talk to us. And he never wants us to feel like we're in the dark about anything in our lives. Anything. He wants us to know what's going on. He wants us to know what's going on so we don't feel anxious in our life. And we can stay peaceful. And we have those things to share with others. We're going to skip this whole. This is just other verses like the other ones. So we go to John 13. This is after Jesus Christ had washed their feet, and this is when he was washing their feet and teaching them, the chapter before the chapter we just read. So he did this before he taught about the Comforter. John 13:12 says, so after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, he was set down again, and he said unto them, know ye what I have done? He washed all their feet. Remember, that's when Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. Remember? But he said, do you know what I just did? Do you have any idea what I just did? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. We've just talked about the power that we have via the Holy Spirit. And we operate all night, all the time, whenever we choose to do so, correct? Or God tells us to use them.
And a huge, huge part of our life when we make the decision to walk by the Spirit is we end up being servants for the Lord Jesus Christ. We end up being servants. And the first way we end up being servants is we get to witness to somebody. I remember the first time after I finished taking that class, I went out witnessing. It's like, I was like, blah, 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 because I was so blessed. I couldn't stop talking, okay? So that's the first way we find out we're a servant. We get to teach and bring someone into the new birth. Lead them into tongues. Later on, we just get to bring them to fellowship and then we shepherd them. And then we teach them how to interpret. And then we teach them how to prophesy. And we go, oh, but you know, there's more than just those. There's more manifestations. And they watch their eyes light up and go, ah, oh, there's more. We teach them how to walk with God. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits, and then faith, miracles, and healing that we can operate and do as God's children, just like Jesus Christ did. So when we take that responsibility on us and say, yes, I'm going to walk because I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to operate all night, all the time. You become a servant. You become a servant. And you can accept that servitude. Or you can say, no, I don't know if I want to do it that much. I like reading my Bible. I'm excited to talk to God. Take special people to rise up and say, I want to be like Jesus Christ all the way. And do the things that he did, including washing feet if I need to. Now, in the Eastern custom, when somebody was having like a party, and I would probably be the one that got it every time because I'm always early. The first person that got there, if there wasn't a servant to wash feet, they were the foot washer. Okay? So like I said, I'm always early. So I would be probably the designated foot washer. And no one thought that it was dishonorable to do that. They loved to do it. I would imagine some people got there early so they could do it. God needs servants. Paul called them bond slaves. Because we're bonded to the Lord Jesus Christ. 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. He showed them how to walk. He showed them how to minister. He showed them how to pray with people. And on the day of Pentecost they received, they continued what he had taught them. They continued to teach. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye. If ye, what? Do them. You got to do them. I taught the kids yesterday about Jesus with Peter, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. They thought it was cool. Jesus said to feed sheep. But they thought it was cool because feed my little girl lambs, feed my little boy lambs, and feed adults. And our kids, even when they're young, are already witnessing. They're already witnessing. We went around the room and they talked about, yeah, I prayed for my friend, or I did this or that. Jesus teaches them of Holy Spirit the same power they will receive. But the chapter 4, he gives them an example of a servant and how to carry it out. And if you go into the epistles, you really see in the epistles, in Timothy and Titus, the heart of a servant. There's two really good books on service that were written by Chuck Swindoll. It's Improving Your Serve, and the other one is 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. They're wonderful books on service. They're just great books. I love them. I've read them over and over. We have the same power, and we walk by the Spirit. A friend of ours, Mr. Gary Anderson, had heard about a gentleman that had a wonderful healing ministry. And he was Gary's wanting to know more and more about healing, really, really getting into the guts of healing people, going and ministering. So we went to hear Todd Eldridge teach, and afterwards, he had people come up if they wanted to get ministered to. Well, this one man walked up, and he walked up like this. And Gary said, I saw him walk up there. I went, I'm going up there to stand next to that guy. And he stood next to him.
And Todd Eldridge says, "What's the matter?" He goes, "I got one leg longer than the other one." He goes, "Okay, let's pray for your leg that needs to get the same size as the other one." The guy goes, "Okay." So he ministered to the short leg that it would grow to the same length as the other one. And Gary said, "I looked and watched, and I saw that leg grow right in front of my eyes. I got goosebumps." We operate all nine so that we can serve our Master Jesus Christ. We operate all nine because we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, so we can carry out His ministry. It says in Acts that signs followed them. I don't know about you, but before I fall asleep, if the Lord tarries or He comes, I want to see more signs, miracles, and wonders in my life. You too? Amen. He has no hands but your hands. He has no eyes but your eyes. He has no heart but your heart to set the captive free, to bring people from darkness to light, just the way you and I were one time in our life. Time goes by fast, doesn't it? How many times I tell Michael, "I wish I had more hours in the week." Strive each day, every day, before our Lord returns to live like He lived. We need to be ready to teach, preach, heal, witness, and bring people from darkness into light. One man awake awakens another. The second awakens his next door neighbor. The three awake can arouse the town and turn the whole place upside down. And many awake can raise such a fuss that it finally awakens the rest of us. One man up with dawn in his eyes multiplies. Go out operating, Holy Spirit. Be that one man or woman that has dawn in their eyes. And what's the dawn? Christ in you. Because when they look in your eyes, they see Jesus. And they may have never seen those eyes in their whole life, but they're seeing from your eyes. And you can change the world by being a light in this dark world. God, thank you for the privilege of teaching your word. Thank you that you saw us before the foundation of the world began. And we believed. Thank you, God, we believed. And we have so much to offer. We have the greatest thing this world has ever seen to offer people. It's the new birth and baptism in the Holy Spirit. And to walk like He walked. And do the things that He did. And we thank you, God, for people to rise up. And even if you told us to walk on water, one of us would put our hand up and say, "That's me. I'll do it." Send me, God. Send all of us, and we're ready to go. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.